wouldn't be denied. Doc kicked off the sheepskin robe that had been keeping him warm, taking great care not to disturb the others. Even though he knew from previous experience that it was almost impossible to stir a limb without waking Jack, probably jerking Trader from sleep as well. But this time, Doc was lucky. He was aware that his cold had eased, which was one small blessing to be grateful for. His knees creaked as he stood, stooping under the ridge of the tent. The night seemed oddly silent, until Doc remembered that he'd stuffed some small pieces of cotton rag into his ears to shut out the endless rasping of Trader's snoring. He took them out and placed them carefully in a pocket of his ancient frock coat.
What?
There was drumming coming from somewhere within the camp. Doc opened the flap of his tent and peered out. He saw a quarter moon riding high behind slivers of thin cloud, but there was no sign of life. There was a ghostly frost dusting the ruts and furrows of the track through the camp. Doc remembered something about a stream a little way to the east, and he picked his way in that direction. The banks of the narrow river were steep in places, but the trail led to a shallow ford. Doc stood at its edge and unbuttoned, taking the habitual precaution of looking all around him to make sure he wasn't being observed. A large owl sat on the low branch of the nearest redwood, staring intently at Doc, who discreetly turned his back on the bird. He buttoned up his breeches and started to pick his careful way back toward the tent. A sheet of thin ice glazed over some of the puddles, and Doc stopped for a moment, just within the fringe of trees, to work out the best route across the frozen mud. The tent where Ryan, Christy, Mildred, and JB were sleeping was a little closer to him, barely 20 yards off, his own tent just beyond it. Standing quite still in his black clothes, Doc was almost invisible.
Devilish thoughtless. Wake everyone up with their infernal drumming.
He put his head to one side, thinking about what he just said, sniffing at the air and catching the faint scent of burning herbs, something he hadn't really noticed before on account of his cold.
Something is afoot, Watson. Think of the strange affair of the light-sleeping albino and what happened when the drum was pounding near him. But Holmes, nothing happened. The lad did not wake. Precisely, my dear Watson. Jack has not awakened. Nor did he stir as I blundered out of the tent. Now, why can that be?
Doc crouched behind a young aspen.
But soft. Who comes hither?
A dozen or more men approached him from the center of the camp. They were moving quietly. Doc could make out the glint of moonlight off edged steel. One of them carried the drum at his waist, beating on it with a padded hammer. At the front of the group were Schnickel and Straub, the latter easily identifiable by his shaven head. Doc drew his lama and eased back on the hammer, cocking it over the 65 caliber shotgun round. He held the revolver low, so that the silvery wash of light wouldn't catch on the blaster's gold decoration. Straub held up his right fist. The light was very poor. Doc strained to see just what it was that the bald man held in his uplifted hand. It was either a short-hafted scythe or a long pair of shearing scissors.
Doesn't much matter which.
For several seconds, the menacing gang of brushwood men stood still and silent. Doc watched the tableau, his brain working overtime, making connections. The scent of strange herbs, the rhythmic beating of the drum, the deep sleep of his friends, friends whose reflexes would normally stand comparison with a mountain cougar.
Mesmerism. Straub has laid some deep hypnotic dream upon them all.
One of the men with Straub and Schnickel had gently pulled back the flaps of both tents, peering cautiously in with a hooded lantern, returning and giving a thumbs up sign.
For Earth and water and air.
Straub lifted. What Doc could now see was a pair of long scissors.
Ready?
Straub moved a little to one side. Doc bit his lip. Now he didn't have a clear shot at the leader, who was hidden behind several of the other men. In that case, Schnickel would have to do as the putative head of the ragged community.
Now!
Ryan had been in an uneasy slumber, tossing and turning. All of his instincts were screaming at him, trying to warn him that something was grievously wrong.
Shit!
The noise jerked him fully awake, Ryan's hand grabbing automatically for the butt of his Sig Sauer.
Shit!
JB, Christy, and Mildred also suddenly came awake.
Lamar!
The short underbarrel of the Lamar carried the 18-gauge scattergun charge. It was hopelessly inaccurate at any range much above 20 paces, but the shot would star out so far that it was only likely to cause relatively minor flesh wounds. But as a light cavalry handgun, it wasn't likely to be used at anything other than point-blank range. Schnickel was standing about 16 yards from the dark shadows where Doc was crouched. His face was half turned away toward the entrance to the nearer tent, where he was about to order his men to take the helpless outlanders prisoner, or kill them. It didn't much matter which. Just as long as it gave Straub the chance he needed to get his lusting fingers on the two superbly unique heads of hair sleeping within. The pellets spread out sufficiently to strike the war chief between throat and forehead. His left ear vanished, as did his left eye, pulped by the lead. Doc fiddled with the hammer of the massive Lamar so that it would strike on 9 rounds of .44 caliber ammunition.
Where did it come from? Where is the fool?
The attackers were thrown into total confusion. Schnickel was down and dying. None of them saw the muzzle flash, but the billowing cloud of powder smoke among the trees was impossible to miss.
There.
As well as being soaked in arterial blood and peppered with shards of bone, 3 or 4 of the men had also been hit by stray pellets from the 18-gauge, one of which had ripped through the big drum.
That's him!
In there. One of them has escaped us. Take him before the others awaken.
Ryan heard the words with an unnatural clarity.
Fuck that.
The moon was strong enough to penetrate the thin fabric of the tent, showing Ryan the silhouettes of a number of people moving around outside. Ryan aimed high. The bullets ripped up into the night sky.
Outside!
As he dove out, Ryan was immediately aware that there was some serious shit going down. There was over 12 men, most of them with either knives or guns drawn. Straub stared straight at Ryan, with what looked like a big pair of scissors glittering in his right hand, an automatic pistol in his left. And there was a dying man, half his head blown away, thrashing bloodily in the dirt like a gaffed salmon. There was no sign at all of Doc, whose Lamar had to have done the killing. It was immediately obvious that Ryan didn't have to worry about whether he hit friends or enemies out here. They were only enemies. Jack appeared from the other shelter. Within less than 5 seconds, they were all out in the open. Blasters ready. Ryan put down 2 more of the brushwood men, picking killing shots in the good light of the sailing moon. Jack's excellent night vision came to his aid, enabling him to take out another 2 with a booming .357 Magnum. The planned attack on them had turned into a hopelessly bloody shambles. The shocking death of Schnickel had thrown everyone into utter confusion, wondering from where the next death would strike.
Retreat! Retreat!
Everybody, calm down! Stop firing! We're moving out!
Doc emerged from the undergrowth, struggling with the Lamar.
I fear that I was of scant use after my first preemptive strike. Now I am ready to wreak some more bloody and savage vengeance. The rogues are fled.
Someone should go after him and spill some more blood. Could take out the whole lot of those bastards.
5 dead's enough price, traitor. I agree with Ryan. This is the time to move out.
Christy stood with one arm around Dean's shoulders. The boy kept looking from side to side, barely awake, visibly frightened.
What happened, lover?
I don't know. Some sort of drug in the food. Something like that, I guess.
How did Doc escape? He ate the same thing.
Ah, I believe that I have the solution to that enigma.
Not now, Doc.
Ryan was watching the camp for any sign of life, particularly for a sight of Straub's bald head. But the stillness was absolute. It was likely that they might regain their mislaid courage and stage a counterattack at any moment. And next time, they might be more careful and successful. It took only a few moments for everyone to retrieve their scant belongings from the 2 tents, those who needed to reload their weapons taking the opportunity.
Let's move it.
There was no attempt at pursuit from the raggedy camp. Not a dog barked, and not a shot was fired. The moon continued its gentle progress across the star-scattered sky, and the temperature dropped further as dawn came closer. The 9 followed a trail toward the east.
Ah, damn it.
Why don't we just go out to sea again and make another jump?